So Hal, what about, thinking more about ovarian suppression rather than chemo in the premenopausal woman in this new intermediate range? It was pointed out that most of the patients in the TAILORx got tamoxifen. They did not get ovarian adjuvant suppression. So the idea that the chemo maybe was having an ovarian effect is very realistic. Do you think it would be reasonable instead of offering chemo to offer ovarian suppression, for example, Hal?
I think it's certainly worth talking about, and for a couple of reasons. One is when TAILORx was run between 2006 and 10, ovarian suppression was not a standard treatment, and so we don't really know what the impact would be. The other interesting thing is we've already ignored the top-line result of TAILORx and gone zooming straight to the narrow subset of women less than age 50 with a score 20 to 25, and that's obviously really interesting. But there was an excellent talk about the SOFT and TEX trial by Meredith Regan, and what she showed is that, the benefits of ovarian suppression get bigger as you get tumors that are PR negative, that are higher grade, higher proliferative. What kind of tumors are those? They're tumors that have intermediate Oncotype DX scores. And so I suspect that a lot of the benefit that separates this subgroup could be accomplished with ovarian suppression, but I don't know that that's the case. I think in operational terms these days, if you're ordering the Oncotype DX, you are uncertain about whether to give chemo. And in general, if it's more than about 25, you're going to go towards chemotherapy, and if it's less, you're not. If the patient tells you, I'm not going to take chemotherapy for a 6% absolute difference, you don't need to order the test because there's no way that we're going to get there. And so, that's only after the fact we learned. But, I think that that's around where the operational breakpoint is going to end up at the moment. And there's some very interesting data. The NSABP is in the process of going back to B20, culling out the HER2 positive cases and looking now at the inflection point. Those data will be published before too long, and I think they'll in general support the idea that the curves begin to diverge around there. That doesn't mean that everybody who's got a score of 27 needs chemo any more than it means nobody with a score of 21 should get chemo. You do have to look at the patient in front of you and integrate all the clinical stuff.
Actually, I remember last year we were trying to sort of integrate the affinity data. It's always fascinating when the data is just, the first couple of days after data comes out, and then what you see is over a few months, people are talking about sifting it through. Maybe a final thought from Hope, again in general, but how you see these data affecting the way you make decisions.
I think it's actually really comforting to know, as Sarah mentioned, that with these scores, which newly defined intermediate range, that we can feel very comfortable for the average patient with node negative, ER positive disease not giving chemotherapy. That's the most important point to bring back, because in the past, I think intermediate risk, people got nervous, and I saw patients with small tumors getting chemo for scores of 18, which I didn't feel comfortable with. So this actually helps. It's a tremendous study, validates it prospectively. It also makes the important point, which I think Hal made really very nicely, that the size of the tumor, the clinical pathologic factors, and the patient really matter in that discussion. So at the high end of everything, you may choose something a little bit different.
Also, it was interesting, George, looking at the patients with high recurrence scores. Obviously, the low scores, we've already seen that. Very, very, as Hope said, encouraging to see that. But you saw there with the patients with high recurrence score, significant recurrence even with chemo.
Yep.
Did that sort of change your thinking about the kind of chemo that you might be using?
Well, no, I think we already knew that. I think we've known that actually since the original NSABP trials. By the way, can I just make one editorial comment,
sure,
if I may? First, I want to congratulate all of you guys in the audience.
Absolutely.
This is a glorious moment in the history of our profession. This is a time where a profession ran a 10,000-patient trial whose avowed goal was to decrease their economic benefit. Think about that. And we got 6,000 women to be randomized to toxic chemotherapy or no therapy. That's a huge achievement. And it wasn't me, it was you guys. It was people in the audience who put the patients on the trial. So I think you should give yourself a round of applause, because I think it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, really. Actually, I got those same kind of chills as in 2005 with the adjuvant trastuzumab study. So, you at last minute, we organized that amazing historic education session. Actually, I interviewed George the next morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. He agreed to let me interview him, and 44% of the oncologists in the United States actually heard his interview, which is really amazing. Angela?
I think that for the moment, what we really need to know is to understand how much of the benefit that we see in patients younger than 50 is potentially due to the ovarian function suppression effect played by chemo. And I wonder, and it's really good that we have here the senior author of the Telerix paper, I wonder if it would not be possible to do some exploratory but informative analysis that could potentially help in understanding exactly which could potentially be the effect played by chemotherapy in terms of ovarian function suppression.
Yeah,
I wonder if you are planning to do this type of analysis.
We're thinking about planning to do it. We don't know whether or not we have enough data to do it. It's an interesting question, and obviously, you know, the soft and text data for younger women raises the question.
Exactly.
But I guess a question I would ask everyone in this group is, how many patients with 1.5 centimeter ER-positive tumors who are 44 years old have you given combined endocrine blockade to? Because that's the patient I put on tamoxifen, or have put on tamoxifen.